Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yesterday in the Fajr Namaz, Mulana read the Surah Furqan, perhaps the last ruku, Ibadur Rahman. Before Ibadur Rahman is the verse, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Allah Pak has made the night to succeed the day, like He has made the day to succeed the night, one coming after the other. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. For dhikr, for shukr, this is the purposes why Allah Ta'ala has made this system. So, for example, you had to complete a certain ma'mool at night and you couldn't do it, then you did it in the day. And if you could not complete it in the day, you did it at night. A Muslim is supposed to be positive, he's supposed to be determined, courageous. He's not supposed to be feeling down, despondent, and hopeless. He shouldn't feel like this. I haven't done it now, then let me do it afterwards. And let me complete it. Shaitan makes us think in strange and unique ways. So now I must get up for tahajjud. Right? Now Ramadan, the whole month is blessed, Mubarak. Whole month is blessed. And then you get the nights that are even more blessed. You get Shab-e Qadr. Before that you get Shab-e Barat. Then the Eid night. So in these Mubarak nights, then one unique feature in these Mubarak nights is that the blessings, the barakat start off from the night, from Maghrib. As the sun sets, from there the blessings start right to Subh Sadiq. Hiya hatta matla'il fajr. So each person knows himself, I don't have that strength to get up, say, for example, 4 hours at night. The Seri ends at about 5:30. So I don't have the strength to get up from about 1:30. I don't have the strength. But I must get something of the night. Something. If I can't get the whole night, at least some portion of it, let me try and get it. So an easy way is to do two things. Get the namaz with the jamaat, Maghrib and the Isha, and the Fajr. And number two is from Maghrib start your night from Maghrib. Because after Maghrib you are fresh, you still have the energy, you don't feel like sleeping. So you start off your program from Maghrib. Say, for example, you sat in the masjid from Maghrib till Isha, and 1/2 hour after Isha. So you got a clean 2.5 hours. Maghrib to Isha. Maghrib is about 5:10, and Isha is 7:30. So there's 2 hours, right? Over 2 hours. Then after Isha, you sat another 1/2 hour. At least 2.5-3 hours of the night you have scored. It's got it to your account. Now, if you think to yourself, no, I'll get the best portion of the night, that last portion of the night, and say incidentally you didn't get up, or you got up but too late, only got 15 minutes. So you lost out at the beginning, you lost out at the end. So, dono jaga khasara ho gaya, lost this side and you lost on that side. Now when the promise is made that the barakat is going to be stretching right throughout the night, then you start off from this point. Then you tell your household, etc., that they must also do the same. And they mustn't wait for you after Maghrib. Big night. So you'll be at the masjid. They can do their thing at home. So she'll get the children and she'll get engaged. You'll be in the masjid. You'll get engaged, right? So you're starting off from Maghrib. 5:10, 6:10, 7, right? 8:10. So about 8:10, you're going home. 3 hours you've already scored. And the night is how long? The night is starting from 5:10, say 5 o'clock, ending up at 5 o'clock. How many? 12 hours. Over 12 hours. So at least one quarter of the night you have scored. Isn't that an achievement? No, shaitan makes us think, no. If you eat, you must eat biryani and chops. Otherwise, don't eat. Is that sensible? Not sensible. Why? Today you can't afford that biryani. But mag masoor, eat that. At least it will do the job. Tomorrow you can afford biryani, then you eat biryani. But now you do what you can manage, what you can afford. What you can afford today, you eat that, you will enjoy that. At least you have the energy, the stamina to continue. جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ خِلْفَةً. One coming after the other, one following in succession. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. The important thing is this, أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. هِمَّةِ مَرْدَى مَدَدِ خُدَى. You pluck the determination, Allah Pak opens the road. But you broke your determination, you broke courage, you broke morale. Now you can't progress. Moment you pluck determination, you want to do something. Let me do something, let me do a little bit. If I can't do much, I can't do the ultimate, then let me do how much I can manage. Even sitting down, let me do something. Or even I'm lying down, let me do something. In the state of lying down also, that is also counted. Don't think that is not counted. Because Quran Sharif says, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Remember Allah Ta'ala standing, sitting, even lying down. So even lying down, you can do some work. Once you're lying down, then you speak to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you cry to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was invited to Dhaka. That's in Bangladesh. In those days when there was one Indian subcontinent, it wasn't divided. India, Bangladesh, Pakistan wasn't divided. So the Nawab had invited the Ulama of Deoband twice. In the first, Mawlana was invited. So Mawlana was invited in the entire envoy, the whole Ulama of Deoband. In that first invitation, Mawlana made a condition with the host that if something is not going to be in agreement to my temperament, then I will return without excusing myself. So anyway, because Mawlana didn't want to be obligated to the wealthy. That was his temperament. He didn't want to be obligated. Do khidmat, but without obligation. And now he knew this class of people, how they work, how they operate. They want to influence you, to move you, maneuver you, right? So he knows that class of people. So he made a condition, see, if something is going to be against my temperament, then I will leave without even offering an apology. Mawlana reached Dhaka, so the one is the reception and one is where you're going to go, right? So there's two different places, like how someone comes, then you come to the airport, the reception, and from there to the actual place. So at the reception, the Nawab's uncle or cousin was supposed to be doing the reception. So anyway, at the reception, the reception is also done in a grand style, because a Nawab is like a prince, like a king, you see. He's got so much of authority, so much of wealth, so much of power. So anyway, the uncle got talking with Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he says to Mawlana, you know, those conditions that you laid out to the Nawab felt a little bit difficult, you know, to accept. He says that which condition did he find difficult? Mawlana says, which condition did the Nawab find difficult? He says, well, that condition that you're not going to accept any gifts. He says, "Main khana badosh nahi hu. I'm not a nomad that you must give me a gift whilst I'm traveling. Don't give me it. I'm not a nomad. I got a home. You want to give me, you send it home. But now a nomad now, he's got no home, so you just give him, as he's moving, give him things, right? He'll carry on in that manner. So he said, no, the Nawab felt it very difficult. So Mullah said, what's the difficulty in that? The difficulty is in giving, not in not accepting. In giving, because the person who has to give, he has to pop out, he has to pull out from his pocket. That's difficult. But not accepting, that is not a difficult thing. So, and then he says, if really Nawab wants to give something, he knows my address, he knows my particulars. When he knows my particulars, then he can set it up. So now, that Nawab's uncle said, Maaf Mulana, you know what? The thirsty has to come to the well. The well doesn't go to the thirsty. He made a very blunt statement. So Mulana says, you see, there's two things. In life, there's two things. One is knowledge and righteousness, right? And one is wealth. We don't have the amount of wealth that the Nawab Sahib has, but Alhamdulillah, بَقَدْرِ كِفَايَةَ ہمارے پاس حاصل ہے. According to our requirements, Allah Pak has blessed us. We're not short of anything, Alhamdulillah. But the second thing, knowledge and righteousness, the amount that Allah Pak has blessed us, Nawab Sahib ko uska hawa bhi nahi laga hai. Nawab Sahib hasn't got the idea of it also. Forget understanding. He doesn't have the idea of what Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. Now, Mullah was already upset. So, as he had agreed with the Nawab Sahib, something happens against my temperament, I'm going to take a U-turn, go back. So, Mullah kind of went back. Now, this is called At-takabburu ma'al-mutakabbirina ibadatun. When a person is acting with an attitude, he's coming up with an attitude, then sometimes it is good to be acting with an attitude with him. Not all the time. Sometimes it is better that you also show an attitude that to the person who's showing an attitude. Right? So now this Nawab was showing an attitude here. Right? And if Mulana had gone to the Dawat and accepted everything, what would have happened? Said, see, we control this. Ulamas, we control them. The Buzuganadin, we, our finance, that is the thing that controls. So at that time, it was important for Mulana to have that stance. Had Mulana not had that stance, then this would have just supported that thought of his. See, the masjids, we run it. Madrasas, we run it. Not our money, then how they can run. See, so that is pride, that is haughtiness, that is attitude. So that has to be flushed out. Now, if Mulana had just accepted, said, no, right now it's a mistake, let's carry on, then this would not have sunken deep into his mind. So anyway, Mulana took a U-turn. In the meanwhile, the Nawab got the message about what happened. Mulana is already en route back to Thanabon. Yeah, the Nawab got wind about this, what happened. So now, Mulana is on, and he rushed and got someone to meet Mulana and said, Mulana, it's not my mistake. It's that person's mistake. Who's representing me? It's not my mistake. No, I'm catching it for his mistake. Mulana says, no. See, it's partly your mistake as well. Why did you appoint such an ullu as a representative? No, he can't think well. He can't reason. He doesn't know things well. Then you're not supposed to be appointing such a person as your rep. He mustn't be representing you. Anyway, this was cancelled. Mulana has gone back. But the Nawab Sahib, he got a lesson for the life now. See? Because Mulana's idea was not to show attitude. Mulana's idea was that if he went anywhere, he wanted people to take benefit. That was the whole idea. That was the theme of his life. And in order to take benefit, then you need to follow certain criteria. Then can you take the benefit, right? If the cement is like hard as a rock, can you take the benefit out of it? The thing has to become as sand, loose as sand, for anyone to take benefit out of it. But if that thing is hard as rock, how are you going to take benefit? So Maulana's idea was, by you come loose like sand, become nothing like sand, and then take some benefit out of this. But you will remain hard as a rock. قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Then أَقْسَ الشَّيْءِ in the law, al-qalbul qasi, the thing that is furthest from Allah Ta'ala is the hard heart. So when you're going to be the hardest heart, you're going to be a hard heart, how are you going to take the benefit? So soften up. At least there is some good that you will take and go back. So that was Mona's mindset, that anybody comes to him, he wanted that person to take some benefit. But for that benefit, you need to follow some protocol. And the protocol is you must soften up. Now you're not going to soften up, what are you going to take back home? So his concern was that now people are making so much of arrangements and so much of preparation, and then they don't take anything. Then he used to feel very, very hurt about it. People are spending money, making so much of arrangement, like our istima, etc., so much of effort, and then the person doesn't take a benefit, then he would feel very upset. But now for the benefit, you have to crack up, you have to soften up, you have to feel yourself to be worthless. And that feeling must just not be a feeling, it must be a conviction. Now you came up for Umrah or an Istima or after Hajj, you are haughty and proud about everything. India have that, they have that garland. As you come to the airport now, they have that garland of roses, and the Haji Sahib, they put that garland onto his head. And he's just waiting for that. He's waiting for all the reception. But Hajj ka kya hua phir? What happened to the Hajj office? He was waiting for all this, the show he was waiting for, this reception he was waiting for. So he hasn't got the sawab for that Hajj. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says that one person went for Hajj and after he returned, he saw that he is not enjoying one special gift that he used to enjoy previously. Previously, he used to always see a noor above him, all around him. He used to see a special light. Now, after that Hajj, obligation of Islam, now he sees that that noor is over. He doesn't see it any longer. He went and reported it to his sheikh or to his senior. So he says, you see, until you didn't do your Hajj, you felt nothing of yourself. You felt gunegar. I'm full of gunegar, full of sins, full of weaknesses and full of faults. But after Hajj, now you felt that I am something. You thought you got some attitude. When you had that attitude, that noor went away. It can't go. Like I said some days ago, that there are some things that cannot reconcile. They cannot gel. Purity and impurity, pure and impure, can they gel? Park and Napa can't gel. You've got 200 liters of pure water and 1 teaspoon of sewage. Can they gel? Can't gel. That water will no longer be drinkable, right? Just say 1 teaspoon, or half a teaspoon, but it can't just, they can't just get together. They can't gel together. So that amount of pride also is not tolerable. Even if it's one drop, like say, oh, Mullah, there's just only one drop of urine here. 200 liters, but it was just one drop of urine. Are you going to drink it? You know, can't gel. One drop of excreta. Just one drop in 200 liters. But why making a big show about it? What do you tell? You drink it, it's all right. That's what you're trying, isn't it? For you, it's not a big job. You drink that thing, it's all right. So some things can't just gel. Pride can't gel, it's impurity. Through and through, it's impure. So it can't just gel. So anyway, the Nawab began to understand. See, before that, he felt, you know, something, perhaps his wealth, something, recognition, his popularity, his strength, his might, his clout, influence he's got. He felt something about it. Now he understood that this thing doesn't fit anywhere. I need to reshape and redesign my life. So he, with all humility now, again, he invited Maulana. The whole thing now. Imagine from Tanabon right to Dhaka, 3-4 days journey, 4 days journey. Right? That zamana was a big thing, very big thing. So the whole world began to speak about it. Maulana took a U-turn, didn't even go to the Dawat. But now, this corrected these people here. The Nawab and his uncle, everybody got corrected. Say, this man is a different person here. And we're playing with fire here. So we need to correct ourselves. Now there was another Dawat. So he's careful, apprehensive. He's showing all the humility. And he received Maulana. So at the Dawat now, he had to have some degree of informality. He became very effective with Maulana. So he asked Maulana for bayat. Maulana said, no, you carry on like this. Dostana acha hai, bayat chhod do. Leave out the bayat and let's carry on the friendship. And he says, see, when you take bayat, at least I must be able to tell you you're wrong. So be able to tell you this is what you're doing is wrong. You're stupid. I can tell you that much. But if I can't tell you that much, then there's no point in an islahi relationship. I can't point out to you, I can't show you your mistakes. A relationship goes well when I can point out to you that this is right, this is wrong. But if there's a doctor that can't show you that this is cancer and this is cholesterol, then what's the point in relating to him? He must be able to show you that this is your problem. But now you at that position, and I don't have the munasabat with you, the familiarity that I can openly disclose your mistakes. So then how is this islah going to take place? Anyway, that was one thing that he had asked. Second thing he asked, he says, Mawlana, you know, I have few wives, you know, 3-4 wives. And mujhe apne biwiyon se behad muhabbat hai. I have extreme love with my wives. And now, all these other peers come here. They come and they say that this is going to be very bad for your progress. You can't reach up to Allah Ta'ala. On side, you got to love all his wives and all these dunya things, and then you want to come up to Allah Ta'ala. How can you get the boat together? Now, contrary to his expectation, Mawlana told him, instead, oh, ziyada muhabbat karo. You must love your wives even more. And he would tell Mawlana, see, this ye choti ki taraf se, ye soji hai. The soji came here from the small girl, from the smallest wife, you know. And Manjali, the middle one, she sent this kofta, kebab and all that. She sent this one here. And that one, he's cheering himself, happy. Now, Mawlana is telling him, no, you must have even more love. And this is indicative of you being close to Allah Ta'ala. The more love that you have for your wife, it's indicative that you have a more relationship with Allah Ta'ala. What's the dalil? What's the proof? The proof for that is, your mind is not wandering elsewhere. Your mind is just at your wife. But if you don't have that degree of love for your wife, you have to fill it up, right? You've got so much capacity for love, right? So you love your wife only so much. You don't love the 90%. So the 90% has to be compensated somewhere else. So it'll go elsewhere. One Mokoti, one this one here, Tomenzan, everybody, it'll be compensated that way. But it's 100% here, there's no place for any Tomenzan, any Mokoti, nobody. No, there's no place for anybody else. So it's indicative that there is no haram, lustful, sensual love in your heart. It's only for halal, only for permissible. So that's indicative of being the friend of Allah Ta'ala. Maybe you're not the biggest friend, but you have got that friendship of Allah Ta'ala that your mind is not elsewhere, it's not wandering around. Otherwise, it's difficult nowadays to find a man whose heart is not infected with strange woman's thoughts, right? It's difficult to find. You'll find many women, if you see, take 10 average practicing Muslim women, 10 out of 10, they got no time for anybody else. Just the husband. And the husband also is too much. So they got no time for anybody else. They got no time for anybody else. But men, it's the other way around. You got that, you are with your wife and some other things in your mind, although you may not be doing something. But you cannot say that you don't have those thoughts. Thoughts will be there in the mind. So that was the second thing that he asked. Anyway, now that Mawlana had also made an agreement. See, wherever my discourses, my bayans are going to take place, there must be no restriction. It must be announced to the public, everybody can attend. It mustn't be just a certain class be able to attend my bayans. What I want to know, my stay is short, if the talk is going to be restricted to a certain class, then the benefit will not be so much, because it's only for a certain class. And many a time, the barakat, the goodness, good thoughts, you know, very good thoughts pass the mind on account of the people that are of no standing, you know. No standing, no significance. So they don't have any social standing. On account of their purity, on account of their sincerity, good thoughts run through your mind, good words come out. So the good words may not be the words of the speaker himself. It may be the blessings of those people that are sitting there with sincerity, with modesty, with humility. They don't think anything of themselves. On account of their barakat, these type of thoughts are flowing through and coming through the tongue. So why must I allow that barakat not to come? Why must I stop it to come? So now the Nawab, he is from that class, you see. He's thinking to himself, now I want my family people to benefit. And they don't want to sit with the rank and file. You know? They won't be able to sit with them. Now, how must I make it work? The bayan. And in the bayan now, he doesn't want these type of people to attend because he wants his family people to benefit. Not that he thinks of them to be something superior, but the family people are of the Nawab class now. And when they are of the Nawab class, they can't sit with the rank and the file. Meanwhile, he's already accepted that this is going to be the condition. Everybody will be allowed. Nobody can be restricted. Nobody can be stopped. No order of restraint. Right? So what he did is he found one place a little bit far away from the town, like a park. You know, you have a park and an estate or something. So he found that place. He hired the whole place. Maulana's bayan is going to be taking place there. But the public had the word already of it. Cycle wala bhi pahunch gaya, rickshaw. Everybody came up there. Maulana sees, look at them. I say, aap logo ke chehre ko dekh karke mazmoon mere zehen mein aa jata hai. So I look at your faces and the bayan comes into my mind. Because most of the people, they were clean shaven. So the mazmoon came in to his head. Now this is a Nawab class, a royal class now, absolute royal class, royal family. They are the audience now. And most of them got no beards. So he says, aap logo ke chehre ko dekh kar ke mazmoon zehen mein aa jata hai. Maulana was a free speaker. He wasn't a spiteful talker. He won't spite and grudge and all that. But if something comes in, then he'll let go. He won't hold back then. If he needs to speak, then he'll say it. Then he won't hold back then. Because he feels now that's a need. That's a medication that is required at the time. Why must I hold back? So he says to them, this is now that mazmoon that we are talking about. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. And I spoke about شَبِ بَرَاتِ and all that, right? So for coming to this point, I have to make such a big muqaddama. He says that I cannot imagine you turning overnight. I can't imagine that you, up till now, you didn't have a beard and you will just turn and revolutionize overnight. You can't just change overnight. And I don't tell you must change overnight, but I'm just giving you one small suggestion, one small request. See, you practice this, inshallah, and you'll find things going very smooth for you, very, very smooth for you. What you do is, as you go to sleep, right, then you talk to Allah Ta'ala. For at least 5 minutes or 6 minutes, you talk to Allah Ta'ala. So, oh Allah Ta'ala, I'm a bara napak banda. I'm a very dirty, filthy person. I've got a lot of faults and mistakes and all that. I don't have the heart to leave out this shaving. It's a beautiful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm supposed to be doing it, right? But I just don't have the heart to keep the beard. No, I just don't have the heart. Allah Ta'ala, so do forgive me and clean me from this dirty habit of mine. I'm so filthy, I'm so bad. I'm supposed to be the flag bearer of your Nabi sunnah. I'm supposed to be showing your Nabi sunnah. Not hiding away, not feeling ashamed of your Nabi sunnah. I'm supposed to be proud about it. And now I'm feeling so ashamed and so embarrassed to have that flag of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me for this mistake, this dirty habit of mine, this filthy man. And you sleep, that must be the last words as you're sleeping, falling off to sleep. So at least, say for example, if you die, right, Allah will look at you with some consideration and with some affection, he'll look at you. That you did the wrong, but you are filled with remorse also. You try to patch up, you couldn't do it full. But somehow you tried to reconcile. You didn't justify. You are stubborn. You said, no, I'm just going to do this. You didn't go on a denial. Some people go on a denial. No, I'll just do it. You didn't go on a denial. You were quite remorseful about that. So perhaps Allah Ta'ala will look at you favorably. And the chance is that if you're going to do this regularly, inshallah, the shaving habit will be dropped out. If you're going to do it daily, before you're sleeping, and you're going to think about it, and you're going to be talking to Allah Ta'ala, then perhaps the blessing of you doing this, and showing that remorse and crying before you sleep, maybe one day it will trigger some tawfiq and grace of Allah Ta'ala. It will usher the grace of Allah Ta'ala into your heart, and you will have, in no days you will find that beard is flowing on your chin, right? لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. So you can remember Allah Ta'ala even whilst you are asleep, whilst you're lying down. قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبٍ. Who said you can't? Little tasbih, small zikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. At least these were the last words, istighfar. You're asking for forgiveness, remorseful for the mistakes, right? If you can't do that tahajjud, at least do this much. For the hadith says that Abu Dawud Sharif has got it and Bukhari Sharif has got it as well. That your eyes opened out at night and you read the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Followed by this third kalima, Subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar. Right? And then you make any dua, Allah Pak will accept your dua. The right thing was to get up, make wuzu, and read 2 rakat namaz or 4 rakat namaz. But you didn't have that courage to get up, especially in the winter nights and all that. So you did this much. Even in the sleeping state, the state of sleeping, you made some dua, Allah Pak is going to answer your dua. Look at the grace, look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. He understands some people are lazy like us, very, very lazy, can't get up, can do everything else, right? Run around and do 101 other things. But simple thing like making wuzu and 2 rakat namaz, we don't have the heart. Standing outside the masjid and getting into a panchayat agency, for 1 hour you can do it, standing up. You're giving your 2 cents, other people are giving it. For that 1 hour, 2 hours, you're active. And someone say, all right, go home and just make wuzu and read 2 rakat namaz, then sleep. Well, that is too difficult. Where's the difficulty? There, 1 hour you could stand, right, talk about all nonsense, Liverpool and this car here and that car, whatever, all things that didn't relate to you. That you could talk nicely, so comfortably, and you are really relaxed and you are motivated to talk. But just to come home and read 2 rakat namaz, make wuzu, that was too difficult. I just can't do that. The next verse, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ أَلَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. We would like to be counted and enumerated from amongst the Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of the Most Gracious, the slaves of the Compassionate. Right? Now when we have a liking for that, we have an eagerness for that, So Allah Pak knows our feelings. He knows what's in our minds. He says, all right, let me give you an itinerary. You follow this itinerary, you'll be linked up amongst the Ibadur Rahman. You want to be counted, or you want to see, you want an explanation, you want a detailed illustration of who is this Ibadur Rahman. That I may be either able to, I may be able to see them, or I can be amongst them, one of the two, right? You must know, you must be able to identify before you join up, before you link up, you must be able to identify. You want to know who is it, right? If you want to join up or you want to see that person, right? Who is this person? Who is Ibadur Rahman? Those selected servants of the gracious, who are they? So he gave, Allah gave a detailed explanation for 10 descriptions of these people. So you'll see them like this, and you'll see them doing this, and you'll see them doing this. So understand him to be Ibadur Rahman. Now the first point here is to see the word Ibadur Rahman. When he initiates this whole description, he initiates it with the word Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of the compassionate. There's two words, slaves and compassionate. Allah could have said compassionate people, could have said that. But he said the slaves of the compassionate. So the first feature, the first thing that you will see in them is the feature of servitude, slavery. The way they carry on, very humble slaves, slaves of the most gracious. See the choice of the word. Kalamul Muluk, Mulukul Kalam. That is what is called Kalamul Muluk, Muluk. In two words, Allah gave the whole thing. Just in two words. You can't do it. Where can we do it? In two words, he's rounded it up, that who is the Ibadur Rahman. So they are slaves in everything, in the socializing, they working, they dealing, they contracting, they talking, they mixing with people, they are slaves. It's easy to get along with them. They can talk, they don't hurt, they don't abuse, they don't insult, they are slaves. One person purchased a slave. So he asked the slave, and what's your name? So whatever you suggest. And where will you sleep? What place you offer me? And what will be your covering? The covering that you offer. And what you'll eat? Whatever you offer. What work? Whatever you instruct. And how you'll complete the day? However you design my day. However you plan my day. See, there's a difference, right? Hazrat Rahmat wish to say, there's a difference. A slave and a worker, right? It's two different things. You're not a worker, you're not a servant of Allah Ta'ala, you're a slave of Allah Ta'ala. So there's a difference between a slave and a worker, right? You employed, for example, an accountant, so he's working for you. You can't say he's a worker, right? Although he'll feel derogatory if you say he's a worker in my shop. Someone is doing some menial work, you can call him a worker. But the accountant, can you call him a worker? But he's doing work also, isn't it? In that respect, he's also a worker. Right. Another example that's coming to my mind, but let's hope nobody takes offense to it. Right. For the blacks, we say African, right? But I ask you, what are you? In some respects, aren't you African also? No, I'm South African, but South African is an African also. Right. You're also an African, aren't you? In some respects, right? Ek nukte se dekha jaye. Sometimes we use words and we don't know the implications, the ramifications, right? Ibadur Rahman. So I say there's a difference between a slave and a worker. A worker, the basic difference is, I chose to give you the example of an accountant, right? So you've got a qualified accountant in your shop. He's your accountant, right? Tomorrow, you've got a truckload of cement, right? So can you tell the accountant, hey, just offload that thing, you're my worker. Can you tell him? Can you tell him? No, can't tell him. He'll say, but I'm designated for a certain job. I'll only do that job. I don't do all these things here. I'm only tell you that much. Right? He won't do everything else. That's a worker, right? A slave is different. A slave one day, he's at the beck and the call of the master at any time, any work. Ask him to clean the toilet, clean the toilet. Ask him to clean the bath, he'll clean the bath. Ask him to prepare the meals, he'll prepare the meals. Put on the fire, he'll put on the fire. Ask him to build, he must build. Ask him tomorrow that, tomorrow you must sit in my place. You're the slave today. Tomorrow you're going to sit in front of my place and you'll give and execute commands like how I execute commands. You will do all my job because you're my khalifa now. So you're going to do that as well. Because you got no choice in your whole itinerary, in your whole setup. You have no choice. I will instruct. I tell you that you must become the boss now. You'll be sitting on my place. You'll be the boss. If I tell you you're going to clean the toilet, you're going to clean the toilet. So you at my beck and call. You at my mercy. However I design you, however I program you, you will just fit within that program. So you see the difference between a slave and a worker. Worker just got one work. He must just do that work, finish. He did that work, he's eligible for his remuneration. And the slave, he's got no specific word. He can be doing the most menial work, and he can be doing the most highest of works. Highest of work he can be doing. So that's left to the discretion of the boss. Boss will push him to the highest of the high and to the lowest of the low. So when Allah Pak says, Ibadur Rahman, then we must understand what is Ibad. That whatever Allah Pak says now, I am prepared to do it. Then I can't be selective. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. You accept some things and you reject the others. That's not on. Whatever I say must go. Whatever I say, it must work. You must just do it. One person is in the varsity, so lecturing and all that. So he says some of the lecturers, they show attitude, you know. So he told that lecturer, he's also a lecturer, he's also. So that lecturer must be a little bit 1-2 degrees above, or there must be a racial problem. He must be white and he's brown. So he's showing a little bit of attitude. So he told that lecturer, you know what? But our mess is the same, you know. Our filth, my excreta, your excreta, both is the same. I think it's a better way to do it. I told him that's a better way to do it. There's about 2-3 things Allah Pak made. Everybody enjoys the same. Sleep, the beggar to the king enjoys the same, isn't it? When he's fast asleep, the enjoyment that he gets is the same as the king of the time, right? Both, in fact, he maybe get a little bit more because the king is sleeping with so many figures. He'll have to pop so many tablets before he sleeps, right? And yeah, he just put his head on the rock and he's gone, finished, kalas. So the pauper and the king, they enjoy the same, right? The second I told him, that you see, the excreta, the filth, you have to wash your own. He has to wash his own. Imagine the king of the time, but he has to put his hand on the backside, rub. He'll have to do it. Whether it's the pauper, it's the beggar of the streets, he'll have to also rub his own. And the king also left to rub his own. He can't say, I'm king now. I can't do this. Can he say that? Can he say that people must come and rub for me? He'll feel miserable about the whole thing. So the king of the time and the pauper both will have to do it. See, Allah, how he's designed us. You know, some things in our design is so perfect, so everything is so perfect. We just have to think about it, that king, he has to also do the same thing. Filth. In that respect, you can call him a sewage man, isn't it? Can, in that respect to that, toilet cleaner, can't you call him in that respect? So he made you such, okay, you have to be humble. No matter what you are, at what position you are, but you have to be humble. You have to clean yourself. Ibadah. Understand that you are the Ibadur Rahman. Allah planned you such, okay, He made you do the most menial work. And you do that most menial work and you don't think anything about it. Don't you? Every person does it. Every day he does it. He does the most menial works and he doesn't think anything of it. Ibadur Rahman. See the Rahman. One is Rahman, compassionate. One is the wise. He's so wise. The Sun Allah illadhi atqana kulla shay. The design of Allah Ta'ala is perfect. There's no flaw in it. It's just a little bit of reflection. You think about it and you understand. Imagine a king, whoever it is, but he has to go. The number two, whether it's Jullab or whatever, but he'll have to rub. So here, boy. Tabelia. Right. Ibadur Rahman. So, one is, he's a slave of Allah Ta'ala. And I explained to the story, the man purchased the slave, and he asks, so the boss tells the slave, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy to you. You know, I have discovered the meaning of slavery today. Today have I discovered the meaning of slavery. The slave has got no choice of his own. It's absolutely the master, the boss, whatever the boss says. Whatever he says, it must work, it must happen. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَ You don't have a choice of your own. It's the boss, whatever he says, you'll have to do it. So I've learned the meaning of slavery today. Now this Ibadur Rahman got two words, right? It's a constructed work. Ibad and Rahman. So one is the slavery. Inshallah, one day we'll explain about aspects of slavery, detail some stories, so it opens the mind. Yeah, it's the sessions are to open the mind, like a little bit of a scanning machine, so everybody can scan himself. Where am I now? How's the pressure? How's the sugar? How's everything else? Cholesterol? Could just check up a little bit, just to give a little bit of an X-ray, a little bit of a scan, right? So all these things that are being spoken about is to scan yourself. So the second thing is Rahman. That you are expressing the mercy of Allah, the compassion of Allah. What are you? Slave of the compassionate. So what do you express? You express compassion. You express love. So Allah Ta'ala has got many other sifat. Many other sifat. But the slaves of the Rahman, what do they express? They express through their behavior, through their ways, through their words, through their talking, etc. What do they express? They express compassion. In everything, big and small, compassion, love, kindness, graciousness. So this is what they express. Now this is how you identify the Ibadur Rahman, the selected servants of Allah Ta'ala.